What a promise when you think of our rock, our shepherd, our very help in time of need. I sometimes think we are so needy, aren't we? Like when it really comes down to it, we are so needy, and sometimes I think we forget. That we have our trainer right with us, as we talked about last week. Our trainer, he just is with us all the time and wanting to pick us up and get us on our feet again. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the psalmist that wrote Psalm 23. And thank you that you gave him such incredible insight as what it meant to be a shepherd and what it meant to lead and thinking of us as sheep. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Spirit of God that dwells within us. And Father, I pray that as we open up again what you've put on my heart, that it would be you speaking and nothing that I am doing, but the Spirit of God would flow freely through me into opening ears. Thank you for what you're going to accomplish this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I thought a lot about that this past week, thinking about the table. And so many times we have this vision of what's on the front of the bulletin. We've seen pictures of a table that just seems to go forever. And you have all these plates on it. And God is preparing that table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And I want us to just take our focus away from that kind of table, and we're going to look at something totally different than as I studied that this week. Table here has different meanings. Have any of you, you've probably heard of the Table Mountains near Cape Cod, South Africa. And I'm not sure if you've actually ever seen pictures of that plateau. But it's just remarkable how that just goes up cliffs. Just a long, long cliff. And it's just totally flat on top. And I remember in Venezuela, as we would be flying in the Amazon territory there, and they would have these mountains that they would call tupuis. And they would just go straight up. And it would be totally flat on top, except it would be all jungle. And as Angel Falls begins from one of those plateaus on top and falls down the tallest waterfall in the world. And I remember even years ago when we first came to Mexico and we were checking out different mission boards. And I remember we rented a car from El Paso and we started heading towards Durango City. And I remember there too, it was amazing, but they had these mountains, these just big rocks that were just, they just went kind of straight up and flattened up on top. And so they call those tablelands, they call them plateaus, they call them alplands. It just depends what part of the country, where you are in the world, they'll have different names for them. Something that's very common around in this area, in the southwest, they call them mesas as well. Yeah, we're going up to the mesa. We know exactly what that means. We're going up to the top where it's flat up there. And some mesas can be very high and some can be very low. It just depends where you are, which part of the world you are. And so if you remember, the shepherd would take his flock, and they'd always have to start down in the valleys, and they would work their way up to the mountains, to the meadows, to the top lands, the Alp lands, the table lands, the mesa. That's where they would go. And I was just beginning, as I thought about how David was preparing himself every year to possibly head up the mesa again, to be able to start that long, long trek up to the mountains where the food was good, where there was an abundance of everything that was needed. The shepherds would always have to go long before he would actually take his sheep. And so he would make it by himself and probably his dog. He would make that trek, starting to go up from the valley floors up to the top of the mountains. And when he would get to these plateaus, he knew that there was a lot of work cut out for him. I'm not sure if you've ever been on that type of environment before, but I remember as I would hike up mountains at times and I would get into a flat top and there would be just incredible meadows up there and the grass would be so green. But there's all kinds of things that the shepherd was preoccupied as he would get to the top here. Because there was always, as I've mentioned before, there would be certain types of grasses and weeds that would do a lot of damage to his sheep. They were poisonous. And so he would begin to check out the scene. Even while the snow was still up there at times, he would make this trek up there and he'd start sighting out the different places. Where will be the best time, the best place to put my flock of sheep? And so he'd come back down the mountains again. And a week before he'd have to go back up, he would make this another trek again. He'd go up to the mountains when things began to bud, when things began to turn green. And he would investigate again, okay, where is the best place in order for me to put my sheep where they're going to have the best food, the best protection, the best of everything. And so that was a responsibility that a shepherd had. And I was just thinking, yeah, David, I wonder how many times he made those types of treks heading up to find the very best, the best food, the best spread table. I wonder if, as David penned this all out, as he was writing this down, as he was writing Psalm 23, as he would be looking, once he'd be on top of this mountain, he'd start looking. And you can just, I can just imagine a vision I'm seeing, you know. Here he'd see a bunch of weeds over here. And he'd start just pulling this stuff out. Poisonous stuff. There's certain lily pads that would grow up there that were very dangerous. And I can just imagine him spending hours and hours just working at this, working this ground, trying to get it prepared for his sheep. And I can just imagine visualizing himself with a big bundle of this stuff and just hauling it someplace over the cliff just to secure, again, thinking about his sheep. David, a shepherd. And the parallel of this in the Christian life is like we are so much like sheep. We somehow feel like, you know, I'm not sure the reason why David was pulling all these weird things out of the ground and preparing the soil is because sheep can be so stubborn and they will just automatically go to something that they're not supposed to go to. It's just the habit. It's just something that they do. They just go. And they'll just start eating. They will wander and go to places where they shouldn't go. And again, I just thought, that sounds so much like us so many times in our lives where we try to feel out things that come our way. I remember as a kid growing up, Howard, don't touch that. What do? I touch it. I either get burnt, I got burnt for it or something. Something new comes out. And it's like we want to feel it. We want to grab onto it. We want to touch it. We have a taste of something that's new and we want to sample it. And there's all kinds of things in our lives where we're constantly wanting to touch and grab and sample because it might look good from the outside. And yet in the back of our minds, we know that it can be deadly too. But that's the way our instinct is, and that's the way we are. And so many times, we want to go and do the things that we know are wrong, that we should not be doing. And even though we realize that there's destructive consequences in our lives because of doing something that we shouldn't, we do it anyway. And they bring disaster to us. And the encouraging thing here is that our Master Shepherd, He has gone before us in everything that we can begin to imagine. Just like David or a shepherd going up to those mesas and beginning to take away the dangers that were around, the obstacles that would be in those sheep's lives, He would take them and discard them. And the soul has been with our Lord Jesus, our Good Shepherd. He has gone through every circumstance in our lives that we can imagine. He's already done that. He has totally done that. He is ahead of us in every situation in our lives. But sometimes I think we forget that He has done that. And we want to go our own way. And we don't necessarily listen to the Spirit of God and us saying, don't go there. Don't touch that. There's danger there. And we give in. We give in to it. Our great shepherd is going ahead of us in every situation, anticipating what danger that we may encounter. And He's continually praying for us that we might not succumb. That's what He does for us. But again, the way we are, we make wrong decisions. Another task that the tent of shepherd takes as he goes up to the mountainsides, up to the plateaus again, is he keeps an eye out for predators. He will look for signs anywhere and everywhere when he gets to these plateaus. I'm not sure if any of you have had any confrontation with mountain lions or bears or whatever, but I remember one time as I was camping in the Banff National Park area, I remember sitting on a picnic table and I had just put some lunch out and some buddies of mine and us were just hanging around. They were just kind of getting dark. And all of a sudden, this huge bear, I had no idea whether it was a grizzly or a brown bear or a black bear. I have no idea. But this guy just was all of a sudden right there. And luckily, he didn't grab me, but he grabbed this loaf of bread that was just right beside me. And he took off. Talk about getting the heebie-jeebies. You know? I mean, that was just unbelievable. And it's like, wow. I was so close to possible death. Predators. Something very strange happened this morning as Susan came and made the bulletins this morning and she took our dog with Jack. And as I was in the house here wasn't very long, and all of a sudden I heard this yelping like crazy, and within just like that, three big dogs attacked our dog and the thing was just bloodied up, bitten up like crazy, just right outside here. Just like that, predators were upon a situation here, and just like that, there was instant pain. And as the shepherd would go up to these plateaus and look, he would look for animal droppings, and he would look for tracks, and he would look for every possible area where they may be hiding. And he would look along the cliffs that would possibly be up on the sides where there would be perfect places for these animals to hide, where cougars would be waiting, just waiting for these sheep to come up. But it was part of his job. He was looking for every possible way to protect his flock. Predators, they're all around us. And are we aware of them? Do we know what our predators are? These crafty animals, like I said, they would be up on the sides of the hills, just waiting to attack. And I can just imagine as the shepherd would begin to think it would be like a movie of some sort, where all of a sudden there would be full drama, there would be action, there would be suspense, and possibly death. And the shepherd knows that, he realizes that, and he's doing everything that he possibly can to avoid that. And it's only the alertness of the shepherd on the mesa, in full view, that he can see those enemies. He would place his sheep in places where there wouldn't be bushes or very few, so that he could be up on top and looking down at the situation of what was going on to keep those predators away. Because when there's disaster, when there's attacks, there's confusion. And so many times the sheep will just scatter and they will run without a shepherd. They'll just go like crazy all over the place. And so the shepherd knew that, and he wanted the very best for his sheep. Our Savior, the Good Shepherd, he knows every wile of the devil. He knows every thing that the devil's going to do. He knows every trick in the book. He knows everything. Our shepherd knows every treachery of our enemy and what his companions will do, the demons too. He knows all of that. And he wants us to get our focus away from that and put it on the Lord Jesus Christ. In reality, we as believers are always in danger. We are always in danger. The Word of God says that Satan prowls around us like a roaring lion, wanting to devour each one of us. He wants to destroy us. And it's sometimes sad, you know, when you get into some of these contemporary Christian groups, for example, very liberal, and it's like they kind of write Satan off. There's no truth to that. They kind of laugh him off, kind of as a joke. They discredit Satan. And it's just really not, no, that's not the way it is. God would never allow an enemy like that to destroy us. And some people just laugh the fact that, oh, the devil made me do it. I can tell a little white lie. And we can come up with all these different excuses. And that's where Satan wants us to be. He wants us to be ignorant. And he wants Christians to be ignorant. And he doesn't want Christians to have any type of relationship with Jesus Christ whatsoever. And it's these types of people that will just say, no, God is love. God is good. And he doesn't want anything bad to come upon us. And we forget that there is a roaring lion out there wanting to destroy us. And there's so many Christians today that take such a pathetic look at us, like, you know, I can do what I want. I can just do what I want. I have my life. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to pray. I'm going to maybe read the Word of God. But you know what? There's nobody going to tell me what to do. And I certainly am not going to have any conviction come from a preacher saying, this is what has to be done. People don't like that. They don't like to be told what to do. They don't like conviction in their lives. They don't like the Spirit of God saying, Howard, be careful. It's dangerous over there. Don't walk there. It's hard. But that's where Satan wants us to be. We see evidence all the time around us of merciless attacks in our society today. And as we were praying this morning, just thinking of our world today, where's it at? It's in a disaster. There's attacks that are just hitting mankind daily, all the time. And sometimes we can be so oblivious to it. That's just the way it is. That's just our world. But Satan is alive and attacking, full-fledged. He is out there wanting to get us. And so many times we as people, we don't allow our consciences to control us. It's just one of those things. It's just one of those things. There's no conviction there. No, I don't want conviction. I don't care attitude. Yeah, it's okay. I don't want to be controlled. I don't want to be led. And there, meanwhile, Satan continues to attack us, get us down, get our eyes focused on circumstances and ourselves rather than where it ought to be. It's interesting that a shepherd speaks of an encounter or different encounters that he had with cougars. Here he says, on several occasions, these cunning creatures came in among my sheep at night, working terrible havoc in the flock. Some ewes were killed outright, their blood drained and livers eaten. Others were torn open and badly clawed. And these great cats would just come in and play with these sheep, like a domestic cat will play with a mouse. And we've all seen that. We know exactly what happens. And the same it is with these cougars and bears that come in and attack these sheep. Totally clawed to death. And the shepherd mentions afterwards, it says here, quote, I never once actually saw a cougar on my range. So cunning and so skillful were their raids that they defy description. Interesting how these animals can come so cunningly and just wipe these sheep out. And you know what the shepherd goes on to say here? It was always the distant sheep, the roamers, the wanderers, which were picked off by the predators in any unsuspecting moment. And before the shepherd could even begin to hear their cries, the damage was done. They were gone. And boy, I think of that today. Just like our dog got whacked today, it's like within seconds, it was done. It was finished. And that's the way Satan attacks us. He comes about us very cunningly and wants to just do the incredible and destroy us. That's his job. That's his job. And many of us as believers, we get down into difficult situations and circumstances. And sometimes we cry out and it's just too late. The damage is done. We've done the unthinkable. The thing is, I think of our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we think of just the shepherd taking us up into those mountain ranges, up to those plateaus for the summer, our good shepherd wants us to enjoy our summer sojourn into a tranquil life. That's what he wants us to do. He wants to take us to that point. He wants our summers to be so incredibly filled with joy and peace. He wants to take us there. He wants to protect us. He is wanting us to stay connected with the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to be connected with the Lord on a regular basis. You ever notice nowadays, everybody has this thing what you call an iPad or iPhone or whatever. People are staying connected constantly on these things. Constantly. You see people walking around with these things everywhere. And they're staying connected. That's what God wants with us. That's exactly what he wants us to do. Because if we disconnect our relationship with him, we run into problems. The predator's going to get us. We need to be texting on a regular basis with our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we ought to be doing. Because that's when we're going to enjoy that sweet, sweet fellowship with him. Living on the mesa. Another thing that the shepherd does when he's up on that plateau, he's also finding the springs of water that have been dirtied up during the winter and the fall months. And I remember too, as I would hike up into the meadows and up to these plateaus, and they would have these springs of water there, these little lagunas, little pond kind of things. And in the wintertime, you'd have branches that would fall into them. You'd have all these leaves that would just fall in. You'd begin to have all this grass coming up around it again. And you would have he would build these little dams, per se, so that it would keep the water from flowing away, so when the sheep come up, they would have places to drink. And this would be another area where he would begin to clean up. Clean up so that the sheep would have clean spring water, that they could enter these little ponds without any hassles of sticks and grass and leaves and rocks or something, and he'd have them all cleaned up. And I think again too, how God has gone before us and has gone through all these different areas. He has gone through everything that we have gone through personally. He has been tempted exactly the way we have been tempted. We are told emphatically that he was tempted in all points like we are. I have to maybe stick to some of my notes here. We know he entered fully and completely and very intimately into the life of men and women upon this planet. When he came down to be a man on this earth, he came down to be just like us. And what I'm saying here is, he's gone through everything that we have gone. He's known every type of suffering. He has experienced our sorrows and endured our struggles in this life. He has done that. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He has gone through all of that. He knows it. And because of all the things that he has gone through in this lifetime while he was on this earth, he understands us. He knows us. He has totally identified himself with humanity And he has an incredible, incredible compassion for us that is beyond our ability to even grasp. His compassion for us. He makes every possible provision to ensure that when we have to cope with Satan, with self, with sin, the contest will not be one-sided. He is on our side. We don't have to face nothing on our own. Absolutely nothing. He is with us. He is going before us. He is our protector. And when we can begin to have that attitude of Christ with us, indwelling in me, then we can begin to rest. We can be like those sheep as they go up into that plateau, that they are totally resting in their shepherd for that protection. They can have total confidence in his care. There's nothing better than being able to relax in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing better. There's no better feeling in this world than we can get up in the morning and just feel like the Lord Jesus has his arms wrapped around us. There is no greater feeling. That is one time when I don't mind allowing feelings to control me. The feeling of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yeah, there's all kinds of valleys in our lives, but there's all kinds of mountaintops too. And God wants to keep us up there in those plateaus. That's where he wants us to be. He wants us to be enjoying that feast that he has given before us. He's preparing a table before us, before me, in the presence of mine enemies. He wants us to enjoy that table so complete. So complete. Here it is. Take it. It's all yours. I want you to enjoy this mountaintop experience. But I know, just like those shepherds knew when they took their flocks up, there were still predators up there. There were still things that were going to happen. There were still weeds in there. And the shepherds still knew that if the sheep decided to eat something that they weren't supposed to, they would be paralyzed and they would die. The shepherd knew that. But the shepherd also prepared everything the best that he could for us to make right choices. That we can be strong and courageous and to enjoy that tabletop experience with him forever and forever. I could go on here for actually quite a long time, but we'll continue on here again. It's good to just see our shepherd living inside of us and wanting us to enjoy that table that he is preparing. And when I begin to think of that marriage feast of the Lamb, that day when Jesus Christ comes back for us, and as the bulletin has this long table, I just imagine a vision, all of us sitting together there enjoying, feasting, literally feasting on our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. But until that day, let's keep pressing on. And we will continue on with this in the weeks ahead. Let's just close here with a word of prayer. Father God, it's so good to have the Word of God in our hands and in our minds. And thank you, Father, that you've given us the Spirit that we can feast on the Word. And Father, I pray that we won't take things lightly, that we won't take the word of God lightly, but that we would apply it to our daily lives, and that we would enjoy the table that is set before us. Even in the presence of our enemies, Father, in reality, our enemies cannot do absolutely nothing to us. They can't touch us. You've taken their teeth right out of them, and they can just gum us. That's it. We are victorious, and we can enjoy you. And Father, I pray that we would be led by the Spirit of God to drink up the living water. And so thank you for what you're going to do this week. And again, we pray for the situations here in our church, with Dawn especially being operated on tomorrow again. We just commit her to you, and that we would be faithful in praying for each one of us as a body of believers. And so we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.